Oh, by the way, there are extensive sketches extant for a sixth piano concerto. These sketches all date from about 1815 and 1816. It's a concerto that Beethoven never completed. We can understand perhaps the main reason why it was never completed when we simply look at Beethoven the performer. Beethoven, like Mozart before him, wrote most of his concerti as vehicles for himself, pieces that he himself would play in public. By 1814, 1815, Beethoven's hearing disability had progressed to the point to which he could no longer effectively perform in public. And so the basic justification for writing a piano concerto, that is, putting himself before the public, was not there. And Beethoven turned his powers then to other pieces of music, which is really unfortunate. But that's the way it goes. Which brings us now to Concerto number 5 in E flat major, opus 73. I should explain opus. It's a word that I keep using and will always use. Opus numbers were assigned by publishers to compositions in the order in which compositions were published. So opus 73 simply means the 73rd composition or set of compositions published in Beethoven's lifetime. Opus numbers are not reliable indicators of when a piece was written. It was not unusual for Beethoven to write a piece fairly early, let's say 1795, 1796, and only later in his life, when he got famous, was someone willing to publish it. So we have, for example, the piano sonata, opus 49. Opus 49, well, Beethoven wrote 135 opi during his lifetime. So opus 49 would be well into Beethoven's career. We would expect that piece to date from 1803 or 1804, but instead it dates from 1795, because that's when he actually wrote it. So we can't use opus numbers as great chronological guides, but that's what it means nevertheless. Onwards, please. The large-scale storyline in this concerto has to do with the relationship between the piano and the orchestra. It is a dramatic, indeed a theatric, confrontation between this and the mob. It's a very different approach to music, to concerto, to piano writing than one ordinarily comes in contact with. Usually in a concerto, in any piece of instrumental composition, conflict and contrast is created between different themes and how they relate to each other. But for Beethoven, there's a greater level of contrast in this piece, and that's how the piano treats themes and how the orchestra treats themes. And that's how we're going to approach this first movement, this monumental, massive, and fantastic first movement, as a confrontation between the individual, the Enlightenment person, the middle-class person playing this wonderful wood, ebony, felt, metal thing, and the orchestra behind them. It's a very theatrical composition. It's an opera for two very different instruments, orchestra and piano. Two very different characters. Let's immediately start listening, because we've got to come to grips with what the heck I'm talking about in terms of this confrontation. So let us start by listening to theme one. Actually, before I do that, I want to explain briefly what's on the board behind me, because it looks on the slight side a little complicated. It's not. It's the basic format of this first movement. It's what I call a word score, which simply means a visual approximation of the large sections of this movement and how those sections relate. This first movement, like the first movement of almost any classical concerto, is in what we call double exposition form. It's an adaptation of a standard classical era procedure called sonata form. This is how a double exposition form works. And this is the tradition. And please remember, this is so important. Musical forms stay fairly consistent from era to era. Each era has its own forms, and composers work within those forms because the audience has an expectation, and then the composer can manipulate expectation. Listen, if every time a composer sat down, they started from scratch, they created the wheel from the beginning, they created new and brand new approaches, what would an audience have in common with that composer? How would an audience member follow the story a composer is telling? Because composers are storytellers, first and foremost, especially German or German-speaking ones. They're narrative storytellers. I will present a theme, and the theme is the equivalent of a character in an opera or a novel. And then I'll produce another theme, and that theme will contrast with my first character, as we would expect characters to be different. And their interaction creates conflict. It creates love. It creates war.